Okay, we keep hand waiting this one, and I think that is officially embarrassing for a podcast called Exploring Next. We should just do the thing cleanly.
Yeah, because this is one of those ideas where if you miss the difference between correlation and cause, you can build a very confident nonsense machine.
Right, like the classic oxygen mask example. Patients with masks do worse, and the dumb conclusion is masks are bad, which is obviously not the story.
We did a whole episode on confounding variables, episode 828. But the quick version is something else is turning both dials. Severe illness makes the mask more likely and the outcome worse.
Exactly. And we did Bayes' theorem in episode 829, which helps with belief updates. But causal inference is the extra step where you ask, what if I actually change the world?
That distinction matters because observational data only tells you what tends to happen together. Causal inference asks what happens if X is set to a value on purpose.
So in our receptionist picture, the receptionist is not just watching who shows up together. They're trying to figure out who actually caused the mess in the lobby.
That's not a terrible version of it. The cleaner version is, imagine a receptionist at a clinic who sees symptoms, treatments, and outcomes. They have to decide whether a treatment helped or whether sicker people just got the treatment more often.
Okay, and that is already the whole track. You look at the data and think you found a pattern, but the pattern can be built out of the wrong path through the system.
Right. And causal inference is basically the toolkit for tracing those paths instead of just staring at the final correlation. The math is trying to imitate an intervention, even when you can't do a perfect randomized trial.
Wait, say the intervention bit plainly, because that's the part people nod at and then immediately lose.
Sure. An observation is, what is the probability of Y when X showed up this way? An intervention is, what is the probability of Y if I said X this way myself? Those are not the same question.
And that is such a tiny wording change with giant consequences, because if you only observed who wore the mask, you are still stuck inside the system that decided who got the mask.
Exactly. Randomized controlled trials are so valuable because randomization breaks that decision chain. It scrambles the assignment so the treatment is less entangled with the hidden stuff.
Okay, so we need the hidden stuff to be less hidden. That's where the graph comes in, right?
Yeah, a causal graph, often drawn as a directed acyclic graph, or DAG, is just a picture of which variables point to which others, with no loops. It is a map of assumed cause and effect structure.
We did the DAD episode 795, and this is the same move. You're not just drawing boxes because they look nice. You're saying, I think this thing can influence that thing.
And I know you love the product angle here, Pippa, because the graph is only useful if it changes what somebody does. If it just sits there as a pretty diagram, it's wallpaper.
Thank you for that generous and not at all annoying description of my entire worldview.
The hard part is that drawing the right graph is often the hardest part of the whole exercise. The data do not hand you the graph. You bring assumptions about the system.
So when people say the model found causality, that is already a little slippery. The model found the pattern. Causality is the part you argue for with structure.
Right, and that structure lets you think about adjustment. If a variable is confounding the relationship, you try to condition on it or block its path. So you stop attributing its effect to the wrong thing.
Conditional probability is the old friend here, episode 671. Quick gloss. It is just probability after you restrict to a subgroup, same math, smaller slice.
And in causal work, conditioning is not just a bookkeeping trick. It can be the thing that separates a fake relationship from a usable estimate of effect.
Okay, but why doesn't conditioning always solve it? That feels like the obvious move, and obvious moves are usually where the field hides the trapdoor.
Let me put Bayes in the right place too. We did episode 829 on it, and the quick gloss is that Bayes tells you how to update beliefs from evidence. Causal inference uses that kind of reasoning, but it is trying to answer a different question about interventions and counterfactuals.
So Bayes helps you revise what you think is likely, but causal inference helps you decide what would change if you did something. Those are cousins, not twins.
Yeah, and the counterfactual piece is the most human one. It is the what would have happened if we had done the other thing question, which is what people actually mean when they ask why a system behaved a certain way.
Like, why did the model deny this loan is not just a prediction question. It's really asking what would have happened if some feature had been different.
Exactly. And that is why causal inference shows up in fairness, diagnosis, recommendations, and root cause analysis. The moment you care about changing an outcome, prediction alone stops being enough.
I want to ground this in the concrete examples we've looked at. TabFM, that zero-shot foundation model for tabular data, lives in a world where your columns are full of accidental relationships and missing context.
Right. And if you're working with tables, you are constantly in observational data land. The model can see associations everywhere, but the causal question is whether those associations survive when you imagine changing one input and holding the rest of the world fixed.
Causal mix with the other one, data mixture as causal inference for language model training. That title is doing a lot, but the basic idea was still about asking what kind of data mix actually changes the training outcome.
Mm-hmm. And that is a good example of why the field keeps reaching for causal language. When you're mixing datasets, you are not just averaging text, you're changing the conditions under which the model learns.
I see people use that word a little too casually sometimes, though. Not every fancy reweighting scheme is suddenly a causal breakthrough.
No, and that is the right skepticism. Causal inference always needs assumptions. The data cannot prove on their own. If your graph is wrong, or your adjustment set is wrong, the conclusion can be wrong in a very clean-looking way.
So, the win is not certainty. The win is being explicit about what you believe the world looks like, and then being able to test whether that story holds together.
Exactly. A lot of machine learning gets stuck at this feature correlates with the label. Causal inference says, okay, but if we intervene here, does the label actually move?
And that is why it matters for product decisions too. If your dashboard says signups rose after a change, you still do not know whether the change caused it unless you understand the structure around it.
Yeah, otherwise you get fooled by timing, selection effects, or some hidden knob turning both dials. Same old problem, just in a fresher outfit.
That is a deeply annoying sentence, and also true.
Where it stands now, I think, is pretty clear. Causal inference is still absolutely live. It has not been replaced by some magical newer thing that removed the need to reason about interventions.
Yeah, if anything, it's more visible now because people keep using model predictions in places where the real question is action. The prediction is only the first half of the job.
And the field has not settled on one universal language either. Some people talk in graphs, some in potential outcomes, some in adjustment formulas. Different tools, same underlying headache.
Which is very on brand for us, honestly. We spent 800 plus episodes discovering that the answer is usually the boring structural thing underneath the shiny thing.
830. And we are still here, staring at the structural thing.
So the one thing to keep is this. Causal inference is what you use when you need the answer to survive an actual change, not just a pattern on paper.
Yeah, if the question is, what tends to go together, correlation is enough. If the question is, what happens if I intervene, you need causal inference.
Okay, that finally feels like it has a spine. Also, I cannot believe we spent this long making a receptionist do all the work, but there we are.